Well, good morning and welcome, church. Great to have you here. Matt, why don't you come on up here? And a couple months ago, Matt introduced himself, and Matt is kind of the visionary behind the Identity Project and the team collaborator, the leader, brought everyone together on this. So thank you, Matt, for doing this. And so I thought we'd just spend a couple minutes just talking about the Identity Project. The song that we listened to during the offering, that's the group song, right?
Yeah.
It's called Identity. I'm a Child of God. So why did you and the group write this song for our congregation?
Well, I guess one of the reasons I'll explain first of all is that when I had come to each of the songwriters, there was five of them, I gave them the opportunity of being able to write one song that kind of personally reflected their story or their journey on what it means to be a child of God, what is our identity in Christ. And through conversation, through discussion, we decided actually that we wanted to write a song all together, all five of us, or I guess six including me, and write a song for the congregation. And I'm actually going to... I wrote some stuff down because as I get excited about these kinds of things and stuff like that, I tend to ramble. So so one of the things that I wanted for this project is to see how God could use the people at Grace Point to create something beautiful. And that was something that I wanted to do from the get-go, before we even actually wanted to write a song for the congregation, is that I wanted to see how God could take something super small like this and turn it into something pretty big. So, and I believe he's kind of done that. So when I first kind of started this, I didn't even realize it would turn out to be kind of like this. So that's kind of how it kind of all started. And as a group, we wanted to bless the community or family that we have here with the way that we felt most comfortable expressing ourselves, which was writing music and being able to share that with you. So I'm hoping that you can kind of enjoy that. So.
Thank you. We feel blessed by that. And that's neat to hear how you started the individual songs and then kind of came together as a group, said, yeah, let's do that together. So, yeah. Now, I know, Matt, on the way out, somebody's going to ask me, where can they get this song? You know?
Well, that was one of the things that I've failed to mention quite early on, actually. My intention still is to be able to have this released on Apple Music, Spotify, streaming services. But since I'm kind of new to this and I'm still trying to figure everything out, I mean, I've been using this project to kind of explore what this all means and how I can apply this to kind of my career later on. There's been some problems and stuff like that. Being able to kind of release one song, the stores have been giving me a rough time with it. So what I'm planning on doing and is releasing it on a platform that you can all view for free. It's called SoundCloud. We'll make that mention in the Grace Point social media and the Instagrams and all that kind of stuff. So please, if you're not following the church's social media platforms, please follow that because that will be something that I'll use that to update everyone on. But I will be releasing it on a free platform called SoundCloud. For right now, and then once I have all six songs released, which will probably be about early September, I will make that available for Apple Music and Spotify so that people can purchase that. So, and I'll also be making a CD copy as well. Actually, before I continue, could you please raise your hand if you would be interested in buying a CD copy eventually? Okay, great.
Okay, so maybe we'd make a couple dozen CDs and the rest of the people would maybe stream it.
Because I know in this generation the idea of a CD is kind of maybe slightly foreign, so...
Not to insult anybody who put their hand up.
Oh,
mine
no.
was up too, and I do have a CD player. And
I bought a CD a year ago, so there you go. So, I want to be able to make that available for everybody. So I realize not everyone's a part of a streaming service and stuff like that. So I want to be mindful of that. But yeah, that's great to kind of see who is actually interested in purchasing something like that.
So maybe by early September we'll be able to get it out. And so
exactly.
Wonderful. So why did you choose the title, Identity, I am a Child of God?
Well, actually, why we chose the name "I Am a Child," like the name for the song "I Am a Child of God," was because we felt like it felt actually quite suiting for the theme that this whole project is about, which is our identity in Christ. So that just kind of, in my mind, that just kind of seemed like a natural kind of title for the song. And I didn't actually know this, but we actually sang the song that actually kind of influenced me a little bit to write this. Before I say anything, I didn't actually write the lyrics to this song. I was inspired through the process, but we actually had Adriana and Tristan, who are quite gifted with being able to craft beautiful lyrics and stuff like that. So I actually had them write this. But as a collaborative effort, we kind of all influenced that. But thank you very much for Tristan and Adriana being able to beautifully write this. So yeah, the song that actually kind of influenced me through this was No Longer Slaves, which we actually sung this morning. I didn't know that, but that's pretty cool actually. So, and that's by Bethel. And I particularly love the verse and the bridge from it. And this is kind of unintentionally, I guess, kind of influenced how we wrote this. But verse 2 from that is, "From my mother's womb you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I have been born again into a family. Your blood flows through my veins." And the bridge of that song is, "I am surrounded by the arms of the Father. I am surrounded by the songs of deliverance. We've been liberated from our bondage. We're sons, we're the sons and daughters. Let us sing our freedom." And I guess this song is all, that we wrote together explains what God has given to us. And I guess that's something that I kind of wanted to emphasize within this song, is going back to the idea of, like, I wanted to see how we could use Grace Point in the community to be able to create something beautiful. And we're all kind of into this together, and we're all children of God through that. And he has invited us to be one of his children because he has created us in his image. And through this, we can call his kingdom our home. Even though we will face many different challenges and become fearful or fail through these, he always calls us home to be with him. For it says in the verse of our song that we wrote, "Arms open, you are invited me. The Father is my home to be. How is this possible? How could this be? Love's great mystery." So it keeps me in awe to kind of think, like, I've had failures. I've had times of, like, kind of doubt and disbelief and stuff like that, but he's always welcoming us back. And it, no matter how far we dig our pit and go into that, he's always like, "Come here, my son, I love you." So that's something that we kind of really wanted to emphasize in this song, that we all belong in the kingdom together.
Thanks for that, Matt. Let's just go a little further into that. You said that God invites you as his son. So this video that we just watched with the scripture reading, Psalm 139, I know that's very meaningful for you from what you've told me. Why did you choose Psalm 139? And what does it mean for you personally to be God's beloved son?
Well, first of all, I didn't actually choose the Psalm 139. That was actually Julia that chose that. We originally wanted to create something, and I wanted to give her the opportunity because I know that she's a really passionate person towards what it means to be have our identity in Christ. So I thought it was kind of a natural fit that maybe I ask her, "Hey, what could we do with this?" And she suggested actually that we do one Psalm 39. And I actually felt like, yeah, that was something that I would love to kind of see how we could do. And we decided to do kind of a creative scripture reading through that. And as you can kind of see through all of these different things, this is another video that kind of illustrates that we are all children of God. As you could see up there on the screen, there was people of different ages, different ethnicities, different cultures, different backgrounds. And that was my intent, was to be able to say something that beautiful as Psalm 139 and being able to have that illustrated through there. So that's kind of what inspired it through there. And I think it turned out really well. So I'm very happy with the people that helped me with that.
Yeah. Anything else you want to share?
Yeah, well, I guess to answer your second question.
Okay, I did kind of give you a two-part question there.
Yeah,
so the second part.
I'm just going to read this from this because, yeah, again, I like to ramble. So to answer the second half of the question, all that has been said for this far To answer the second half of the question, all that has been said so far is something that I can personally declare about my identity, as can everyone in this building. But to go deeper into that, for those that have heard my testimony, I like to divide it into different communities that I've been a part of, because each of those particular communities have shaped me into what I have become today. God speaks to people in different and sometimes really interesting ways. But one of the ways that he continually speaks to me is through the people in those communities that I've been a part of. Now, you may be wondering, where does this all tie into how he's declared me as a child of God? For those that know me well enough know that I like to dream big, be involved in creative projects, and involve people and be continually amazed to see how God can use something small and turn it into something big, like the Identity Project in this way. Through these experiences like this, he has continued to show me what he has created me to be. This can be through the many celebrations that these kinds of things can bring, but also through the many failures and challenges that this also brings. It can be really easy to define myself by the failures or discouragements that may be happening along the way, since it can often be hard to look outside of them when these projects like these consume so much of your time and your commitment. It can often feel like your whole life is consumed in it, because creating art from the heart means being vulnerable and exposed. But I'm continually reminded by those that support me and guide me in these communities that I've been a part of, that I am loved by God no matter what happens, and he doesn't label me by the failures, but rather sees me as his son whom he loves. I was created to be something so much more because I was created in his image, just like you are. And it isn't absolutely amazing to think we can live our lives not being fearful about what life brings, because we are defined by the love of Christ rather than what the world thinks of us. I still don't fully understand what that truly means. I probably never will. But since his love is greater than I can possibly imagine, than anything that I ever know, but I can at least rest easily knowing that it's pretty incredible.
Yes. Thank you for that testimony, Matt. So, yeah, and keep persevering through these challenges. And I love the way you're just bringing people together on this project, even some of the names that you just have mentioned. And we'll see the people up here who are the artists who, next week we'll have Noah sitting where you're sitting, and just how you're blessing each of us in a different way in this. So Thanks for your vision, your dream on this, and continue walking as God's son.
Well, yeah. Well, thank you very much for being able to kind of take a listen. And I'm super excited to be able to kind of finally show you guys what this project is all about. And there's a lot of incredible songs that I'm really excited to be able to share with you guys. So stay tuned for that.
So stay tuned. And the next 5 weeks, you'll see the five artists up here, and we'll hear the stories behind each of the songs.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Well, thank you.
So if I were to ask you the same question I just asked Matt, that what does it mean to be a child of God for you? How would you answer that question? To be God's beloved son or God's beloved daughter, how does that impact you in your daily life? We see in Psalm 139, and I invite you to turn there with me, just how much God values you. And I really believe as we take this psalm to heart, it can impact and influence our relationships, our circumstances, our very lives, right down to our soul level. Psalm 139. And I won't read it through because you saw it there on the video screen with the variety of readers there. After I met with Matt on Wednesday and I kind of went through the psalm, I realized, wow, there's a lot in here. So I'm not going to deal with all of it. And I'm going to kind of skip the last part of it, not because I'm scared of it, but because I think that demands a whole sermon in and of itself. It's talking about slaying the wicked and hate those who you hate God. And some of you might be like, why is that in the Bible? You know, and like I said, maybe sometime down the road, maybe we'll go through the book of Psalms. Maybe not all 150, but, you know, the various genres that are in Psalms, including the imprecatory ones like that. And we'll have an honest conversation about what you do with that. So experientially, I kind of get where David's coming from. Theologically, I think he's wrong. you know, and just in light of the cross. But like I said, that's another sermon coming up. Anyway, Psalm 139, three things that I do see that are in here is, first of all, that God knows you inside and out. This is David's psalm. He's speaking directly to God, and he's saying, God, you know me. K-N-O-W. Everybody say that word, know. Know that God knows us. And we see it five times in the first six verses. He's just awestruck how God knows everything about him. He says, oh Lord, you know everything about me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. David is wonderfully overwhelmed by God's infinite knowledge of him. And three things he mentions that God knows about him and about you and I is that God knows our actions. Verse 2 and 3 there, he talks about how when we sit and when we rise, when we go out, when we come in, wherever we go, God knows that. Or in verse 4, that God knows your words. He says, even before we're going to say something, God knows the rest of my sermon. God knows the conversation you're going to have with somebody today at lunch. Even before you're going to say those words, God knows the words. And thirdly, that he knows our thoughts. Verse 2, you perceive my thoughts from afar. That God knows his actions, God knows his words, God knows his thoughts. And what's his response to this trifold knowledge that God has for him? Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. He's just overwhelmed by this, that this astounding God would know everything about him. Everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God knows about us. But God is not repulsed by the bad and the ugly. Friends, you are fully known, but you are fully loved. You are fully known. God knows everything. And yet fully loved. And this should cause us to be drawn to God, to this God who loves us. Now, theologians call this omniscience. Everybody say that word, omniscience. It's a Latin meaning omni, meaning all, and then niscience meaning knowledge. All knowledge, that God has all knowledge of everything about you and I. All our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, our past, our present, our future, everything. And this doesn't make God some giant computer, but rather a very personal being who lives in relationship with you. As the last line of verse 3 says, you're familiar in all my ways. Now, how does that make you feel? Knowing that God is familiar in all your ways. He knows everything about you. Does that compel you towards God? Or does that repel you away from God? See, that idea makes some people uncomfortable. It makes some people fearful. I want to put Kelly the book up on the screen. Christopher Hitchens' book, God is Not Great. He wrote these words. He said, I think it would be rather awful if it was true that God exists. If there was a permanent, total, round-the-clock, divine supervision and invigilation of everything you did, you would never have a waking or sleeping moment when you weren't being watched and controlled and supervised by some celestial entity from the moment of your conception to the moment of your death. It would be like living in North Korea. Is that what it feels like to you? That God is some celestial being, some celestial dictator, you know, like a North Korean dictator or a Stalin in the sky, that he's just watching over you, and that any human who's having fun, he's going to zap, or he's going to try and control, or he's going to somehow make your life miserable. See, that's one image of God. But that's not the image of God that's presented here in this psalm or presented in the biblical narrative or demonstrated through the life and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fact that God knows you and I fully inside and out can take your relationship with God to a whole new level. Knowing that God knows everything, you can kind of unzip and be yourself. You can kind of come out of hiding. Because God knows everything already. We can be ourselves to this God who already knows and loves us. First one, why don't we stick it up on the screen there, Kelly? Let's read it together. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. Now that word search in the Hebrew means to examine with pain and care. And it was used in the Hebrew to refer to digging in a mine or in a cave. Now what was the good news story of summer 2018? What was the whole world enthralled about this summer? It was the Thai soccer team, right? And the coach. And what happened there? And then the miracles that happened there. The miracle even that they were found. You know, that the two English divers, I believe they were, that they spotted these guys. And then the whole world waited and we all prayed. Like, how are they going to get them out of there? And different solutions were offered. Pump the water out. But that wasn't possible. Or drill a hole, you know, half a mile down. But there wasn't enough time for that. And then they did the daring rescue. And then the nick of time, right before the pump went and the monsoon rains came, they got the boys and the coach out. Oh, Lord, you have searched me. Like I said, that word search was used to describe rescuing in a cave. Oh, Lord, you have searched me. This God of the Bible has come searching for you. He's come and rescued you. He has come looking for you. He did it on the cross of Calvary, and he continues to come looking for you. And so, friends, we can stop concealing. We can stop hiding. We can be ourselves to this God who knows everything about you. You are fully known, and you are fully loved. So in this first section, David talks about God's knowledge of us. Then in the next few verses, he talks about God's presence with us. Now, theologians call this omnipresence. Everybody say that word, omnipresence. Again, omni meaning all, presence meaning present. That God is present all the time with you, wherever you are. That there's nowhere you or I can go that God is not already there. And we see here in the psalm, David conducts like this mental experiment. He says, verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And then he mentions a couple options. Verse 8, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Or verse 8, how many have the word Sheol in your Bible there? If Sheol, that would be the literal word. Some of you have Sheol, or how many have hell? And or the place of the dead. Some of you have place of the dead. That idea that there's no place you or I can go and escape God. We go up to the heavens, he's there. We cross over. We cross over to death. God is even there. That there's no place that you or I can go, even apart from this life, beyond this life, that God is not there. He continues, verse 9, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea. So this idea, the wings of the dawn, has this idea of this bird flying, you know, from dawn to dusk, you know, that, I'm directionally challenged. Which way is east? East. Which way is east? Oh, we've got a few different. This is funny. Okay, east, we're going this way. The majority is saying east, but some are actually pointing this way. So, okay, this is really interesting. Some are pointing at me. So we'll just go with the majority here. Majority is always right. No. Okay, but anyways, let's say this is east. Most of you seem to think that way is east. So this idea of the bird flying from dawn till dusk, that no matter how long that God is there. Now God's not like a bird in the sense of he's pursuing us, but rather God's already there, right? That there's no place you and I go. My family and I were on holidays for a couple of weeks. We were up in Kelowna, went down, spent a few days down in Seattle, so visited a few different places. And it's not like God said, oh, Rick's in Seattle now. I got to go down. I got to cross the line. Got to get down there. No, God's already in America, right? You know, and God's already in the interior. God's already wherever you find yourself to be. God is already there. And so the psalmist is just marveling at this. As he says, here, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And that's a good thing because he understands the character of God. Let's continue on verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light becomes night around me, then not even darkness, not even the depths of darkness, whatever it may be, whatever darkness you may find yourself in, God is present there. In the darkest of circumstance, in the darkest of relationships, in the darkness of your heart that you might sometimes be feeling or experiencing, God is there and He can transform the darkness to light. God is present everywhere. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. This amazing God who is always present with us everywhere. But we need to be reminded of that because we can forget, right? Like I said, I was on holidays for a couple weeks and We came back last weekend, and I was here last Sunday, but just sitting there amongst you guys. And so Monday morning is my first day back to work. And so I went to the gym Monday morning and ran on the treadmill. And I thought, well, I should listen to one of the sermons I missed. So I listened to Pastor Chris's sermon, great sermon, you know, on Gideon there. And so I run for 30 minutes on the treadmill. So I ran for 30 minutes and, you know, and then started driving to work here. And then as I thought, you know, I should listen to the rest of the sermon. It was a little longer than 30 minutes. So I, you know, put my phone on and listened to it. And I came to the corner of Highway 10. And King George Boulevard, and I was going to turn south. And then Chris got to the end of his message, and he started praying. And he got a little quieter as he was praying. So I took my phone from the cup holder and put it to my ear, you know, so I could listen in as Chris was praying, you know. And as I was, you know, in that prayerful spirit and asking God, well, what did God say to me through Judges, the passage, I looked over and there a police officer was right beside me at the stoplight, and he motioned to me to pull over. And so I, you know, put the phone down, pulled over, and he came and talked to me. And I said, I wasn't talking on the phone. I was in prayer, you know, and I was listening to the sermon. And he told me to take my atonement somewhere else and wrote my ticket for $368. Yeah, that's an expensive mistake, isn't it? So I told my kids that night what happened, and they asked me the question. They said, well, what do you think God is saying to you through that? That's a really annoying question when your kid, like, I'm the parent. I should be asking those kind of questions, you know? So I told them the message from God was, Chris should only preach for 30 minutes because that's how long I'm on the treadmill for. So I didn't know the police officer was there. Sometimes we forget that God is with us and we need to be reminded. But he's not like the cosmic cop who's trying to give you the ticket or trying to imprison you. God is for you. God is your friend, not your foe. See, when David writes here about your hand being upon me, that's a good thing, right? See, if you see God as a foe, you'll think, oh, that's restrictive. You'll think it's kind of like Christopher Hitchens mentions. Oh, this is like North Korea. God's, you know, watching me. He's got my hand. He's trying to No, God is for you. God wants your freedom. God wants your very best. See, when you're slipping on a slope, let's say on a trail somewhere, having a strong hand, having a hand that can hold you is a good thing. God's not some divine sheriff to make your life miserable. He wants to make your life good, to replace your sin with forgiveness, to cover over your shame with His grace. So I say, friends, come out of hiding. Come to this omnipresent God. Because everywhere that you and I will find ourselves, God is already there. Come to this God who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We have a God who knows everything about us. We have a God who's present with us everywhere. You are fully known and fully loved by this fully present God. Then he goes on in this next section, verses 13 to 16 there, talking about that God has a plan for your life. And the psalmist just marvels, just is awestruck by the fact that God, from conception on, from the time of being an embryo on, God has a plan, that you are created fearfully and wonderfully. Down to our innermost parts, we're woven together. And the psalmist is just in awe and astonishment of this. There are two couples on our street this summer that had babies. Two that we know of, anyways. Exciting stuff. And couples, both of them are first-time parents. You know, couples, when they're going to have their child, they go to the doctor, they get the ultrasound, and they're all excited to hear the update and see the growth. And as the psalmist is gushing here in Psalm 139, when he says, "You created my inmost being," I got the peace sign there. "You created my inmost being, you knit me together." That word "created" there, that's used there, was used by an artist who would buy a piece of, let's say, clay or buy some tapestry and create a work of art. Somebody has written, a single human chromosome contains 20 billion bits of information. How much is that? Well, the equivalent, if it were written down in an ordinary printed book, 20 billion bits are the equivalent of about 3 billion letters. If there are average 6 letters in a word, the information content of a human chromosome corresponds to about 500 million words. If there are about 300 words in an ordinary printed page, this corresponds to about 2 million pages. The typical book contains 500 pages. The information content on a single human chromosome corresponds to 4,000 volumes of books. One DNA molecule. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, down to the most tiniest aspect of your life. You were a sacred baby in your mother's womb, set apart for a sacred purpose that now in the summer of 2018, you are to live out. Psalm 139 reminds us here, you are no accident. God doesn't make mistakes. Everything about you, how you are wired up, your personality, your height, your preferences, the things that you desire, your gifts, your skills, your talents, etc., are all designed by God. You're not just a random set of chromosomes. God has you for a divine purpose. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Friends, press in to that God-ordained purpose. And you live that way. You live out of that identity, right? Not trying to achieve it. You know, Pastor Steve had a great message a couple weeks ago, you know, that our identity, and he shared about his testimony. I encourage you to listen to it online, but not while you're driving. And, that he shared his story, that we don't strive for identity. Rather, it's declared who we are. Friends, here Psalm 139 declares it for you, and you live from that God-given identity. Kelly, why don't we put the first verse from the song? Belonging in your family, your presence is all we seek. What a treasure we do find in thee. It's our identity. This God who fully knows you, fully loves you. He's always present with you. He created you. He's got good plans for your life. Friends, I say to you today, come to this God. See, the good news of God's book is that this God is not only your creator, but he's also your redeemer. Yes, he knows you inside and out. He's fashioned you, but he's also redeemed you on the cross. He's the architect of your soul, but he's also the architect of your salvation. He came in the flesh here on this earth, walked among us, and died on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. So you would be redeemed, you would be set free. As the lyrics in the song that we heard say, righteous by your blood, that the group had written. Righteous by your blood. And so therefore we can live free. As free people, we can be part of the community, encouraging one another on to live our God-given identity. Live in that declaration that you are his son, you are his daughter. So let me ask you again, How would you answer the question, what difference does it make the fact that you are God's child, that He has declared this about you? See, when I met with Matt on Wednesday morning, and I asked him about his dream for the project and for the people involved and why Psalm 139, he shared something very meaningful about his heart for all the artists who are involved in the project and what he wants to see happen in their own lives. And when he told me that Wednesday morning, I was just moved by that. And so the last couple days, it's what I've been praying for you also, that you would live in your God-given identity, that you would repent of your unbelief of what God, not believing what God says about you, who you are, but rather that you would live out that fully, the declarations that He declares who you are. And so when He says He knows you fully, you believe that and you open up yourself to Him. When He says He's with you, that you would live in the joyous worship of God, not just on Sunday mornings, but 24/7 throughout the week, that He is with you. And that He's got this God-ordained plan for your life, that you would walk in that and live in that, because you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and He has made you righteous by your blood, so you can go forward with no fear, go forward with no guilt, go forward with no shame, go forward in what He has you to be and to do. Friends, shall we do that? Shall we live in that? Let's go to prayer. I want to just take a few moments of silent prayer here. Got to believe that God brought you here this morning. Psalm 139. He wants to take His written word and speak it into your heart, into your soul, into your life. Spirit of God, do that right now, I pray. Just take a few moments of silence. Just receive from God. As eyes are closed and heads are bowed, and some of you want to make a decision today to say, yeah, I want to follow that God-given purpose. You just kind of look up at me. You just kind of put your hand up, and I'm going to stand with you in prayer to say, yeah, I'm making that choice. Okay, making that choice today. I'll pray with you. Yeah. Yes, I'm going to pray with you. You're going to live God's ordained purpose. Yeah, okay. I'll pray with you. Pray with you. Yeah. Stand with you in prayer. Yeah, I'm standing with you in prayer too. God is right now speaking to you. Oh Lord Jesus, I guess I want for myself and I want for us as a church family to live in that kind of awe that this worshiper in Psalm 139 has. That He invites us into His spirit, that we would share in that same spirit of just being men and women, being people who are enthralled by who You are and the life You call us to live, Jesus. We want to follow You because You know us, because You're with us. Amen.